Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome in, everybody. We go for a second night in a row behind the glass, as always. Jose Partida in studio alongside me, Glenn Davis. The one and only Victor Ariza. We are on Facebook Live, so hit us up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. Get your thoughts in, get your opinions in here tonight. We have a lot to talk about, but one thing fresh today, Coutinho debuting for Barcelona in a 2-0 win. Here are the two Barcelona goals.
Lopez can't stop Messi, right foots it in. But he can't have this one taken away cleanly. And Hermoso with a pretty tackle. But Messi, even better. And it deflects home to the promised land.
Get Lionel! Amazing!
So that was it today. Coutinho debuting. That was in the Copa del Rey against Espanyol. 713-780-3776. So as you heard last night on this show, breaking news, in a flash, in a blink of the eye, Kubo Torres is gone. He's down and signed, sealed, and delivered for UNAM Pumas in Mexico. Without a doubt, the Houston Dynamo have been shopping Kubo for a while. I think that's pretty common knowledge from everyone. Your thoughts on Kubo Torres tonight? Because I think if we look at this deal over the course of the time Kubo was here, not just last year where he scored the 14 goals, it's been a disappointment, and I want to get your thoughts on that tonight. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Kubo Torres' tenure here in Houston. How much of it is on Kubo Torres for coming here, basically getting off on the wrong foot, coming in with all the allegations of off-field problems in Mexico? Many say he came in unfit. Now, look, he's 25 years of age. He's still very, very talented. But in his first 2 years here, he played less than 800 minutes, had only 4 shots on goal. I mean, his career was in a downward spiral. It was revived last year. He set a Dynamo record with 14 goals in a regular season, yet I don't seem very fulfilled. It was definitely better. I don't think there's any question. He had great moments, Kubo Torres, last year. But he faded at the end of the season. I just got the sense that he was never fully engaged. Let's get your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Kubo Torres, his tenure here in Houston. For me, it has to end up being called a disappointment. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. This deal came very quickly and very fast to the public. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but we're fortunate to have Matt Jordan coming in studio here tonight. So we'll talk to the Dynamo general manager. We also have coming in shortly Artur Alvarez, one of the new signings for the Houston Dynamo. Patty Smith will be our outside of the box feature tonight. She's with the Harris County Houston Sports Authority in public relations. She's putting together an unbelievable event that will be down at the Hilton Americas on February 8th. It is the who's who history of top athletes in Houston, Texas. Three number 34s are going to be honored on that night. Nolan Ryan, Earl Campbell, and Hakeem Olajuwon. Boy, and I'm blessed and really, really fortunate to be a part of the event as commentators of all the different teams in Houston are going to emcee the event in some shape and form. But it's going to be a spectacular night. Patty Smith, in this interview. We'll talk a little bit about that, but we're really talking about her career because for 20 years, she was at Fox Sports Southwest. You see her work in the rodeo, but switching careers and with all the relationships she has acquired over the years in the media, perfect fit for the Harris County Houston Sports Authority. Ike Opara was last year's Major League Soccer Defender of the Year. You'll also remember he hit a spectacular bicycle kick against the LA Galaxy. He joins us from the national team camp to give us a little bit of flavor of what a January U.S. men's national team camp is going to feel like in a year where the United States are not going to the World Cup in Russia. 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com. And would love to have your thoughts on what questions you want Matt Jordan to entertain here tonight. But a lot to talk about on the program tonight. Again, 713-780-3776. Stream me at ESPN975.com. Jose, I've got some sound that I'd like you to pull. This is Jordan Morris of the U.S. men's national team on the current men's national team in the January camp. Let's play that sound.
Tough for everyone, tough for the country, and I think until we qualify for the next World Cup, you're going to have that pain, and it's going to be obviously very difficult, but something that you can't do anything about anymore, and you got to move on and push towards the future.
That's one of the topics we can talk about, the current U.S. men's national team. Dave Sarakin taking that team. They'll take on Bosnia-Herzegovina. That friendly will take place on Sunday. Now, the U.S. roster, 27 of the 29 players in camp are from MLS teams. 21 of the 29 are younger than 24. So you're going to see a shift and a youth movement with the national team now. Over half the squad has never previously played for the U.S. 25 of the 29 guys in camp have fewer than 5 caps. And by the way, there is a lot of talent at the under 20 and under 17 age levels. Let's not forget. And having called some of their matches in the FIFA under 20 World Cup and under 17 World Cup, I can tell you there is some real talent there without a doubt. Other topics. Boston Breakers, NWSL, they fold. You know how they tell their players? You get an email. You get an email that it's all over. Alexis Sanchez, well, who do we think at Manchester United is going to be the fall guy for him? Is it going to be Marcus Rashford? United fans, if you're out there, talk to me. Borussia Dortmund will come on tour this summer with Christian Pulisic to the United States. So that's another piece of information that's out there. These teams obviously are organizing their summer tours already. But, imagine that. I mean, Borussia Dortmund, I mean, the feature piece to that tour is a young American soccer player named Christian Pulisic, who regularly plays in front of 60,000 people for Borussia Dortmund in the German Bundesliga. 713-780-3776 is the number. Dynamo preseason has started, and Jose, get ready for soundbite number 6. But the preseason has started. Saturday morning, the Dynamo will have an open training session. It's always a lot of fun to go down there, speculate, talk to fans, engage with people and get ready. They have a 16-year-old player, Marcelo Palomino. I have a number of friends out in the community that are agents and scouts. They are all giving me tremendous reports on Marcelo Palomino. Here's Dynamo manager Wilmer Cabrera on Palomino, the 16-year-old.
What's the plan for Marcelo Palomino?
It's here. He's practicing. He's improving. And we'll see. In these cases, we go analyze what is the best possibility for him, and if he pushes, we're happy. But what he needs to do is just he needs to prove himself, and he needs to show what he's capable to do. And if he has the talent to play with the first team, he will play with the first team, because it's not about the age, it's about what he's capable to do.
So that's Dynamo manager Wilmer Cabrera. Wonder if they're going to sign the 16-year-old. He is a talent. He has been in with U.S. youth national teams. And Dynamo Academy has yielded Memo Rodriguez. It hasn't yielded any other players that really have had a first-team influence. You know, you might say Tyler Derrick, and that's another issue we'll get in here tonight. What's the future of Tyler Derrick with Matt Jordan? But Marcelo Palomino has gotten a lot of rave reviews, and let's hope it's all kept in check. Yet, if he's good enough, sign the kid. Sign him. Get him on your books. Make him yours. 713-780-3776. Again, we talk about Kubo Torres and his situation. Brad Friedel up in New England. And no Brad, obviously the outstanding goalkeeper. Pretty hardline guy. And it's pretty hardline right now with Lee Wynn, who has not reported to preseason training. So that's one to keep an eye on. I don't think there's any question up in New England. Landon Donovan moving to León in Mexico. How about your thoughts on that one? Soundbite number 8, Jose. Here is Landon Donovan on his move to León.
Well, I know that if I commit myself to this, there's no chance of failure. So it's incumbent upon me to make sure I commit myself. Now, if I come and do it halfway, I could fail. If I do it 3/4 of the way because of my age, I could fail. If I do it all in with all my heart, I won't fail.
Landon Donovan to León in Mexico. What do you think of this, Soccer Matters fan? 713-780-3776 is the number. Obviously, it's a good payday for Landon. 35 years of age. He's been out of the game for 14 months. We all know what an intelligent soccer player he is. Obviously, his body has changed at this point. Quite frankly, should have went to the last World Cup. I don't think there's any question about that. But pretty fascinating. That one kind of came out of left field. We weren't ready for that one with Landon Donovan going to León in Mexico. So let's see what happens. Landon Donovan's a serious guy. And obviously, just one outstanding soccer player. Let's see what he has to offer for León in Mexico. If you go over to Facebook, Soccer Matters, a lot of stuff being posted over there, a lot of good conversation going on. So I'm going to dip into some of the Kubo Torres stuff. And again, I want to get your thoughts on Kubo Torres. Again, very difficult tenure here in Houston. Let's face it. It was not easy. Two very rough years. He was not coveted by Owen Coyle when Owen was the coach. He was not supported with the right type of system. He's a player that has to have the right support system. Got some of that last year with a better Dynamo wide game. But he's gone. He's now a part of UNAM Pumas. And 25 years of age, still young. What happens with players like Kubo Torres is they will get a second and third chance because they're goal scorers. But he's getting to a point where he's got to start making it happen. And habitually, I think he has to be, in my very humble opinion, more professional. There was just something around Kubo that made me think that there was more to give. And maybe he wasn't given it. It came sporadically. It came in certain moments. We saw glimpses, tremendous flashes last year. I will also say in his defense, when you're in a system that definitely is a rotation policy, it's tough stuff because strikers like to be consistent. They want consistent minutes. They want consistent games. They're all about scoring goals. Teams win. Strikers get in cars. If they haven't scored, they're still not happy. Yes, they're happy that they won. They're not happy that they didn't score. And also in a rotation policy with strikers, it's difficult for a manager and a staff because you have to have unbelievable lines of communication. Soccer players are egotistical, okay? They're performers. They want to produce. They want to be out front. They want to be on display, and they want to get that instant feedback of performance. When you're a goal scorer, it's scoring goals. Your coach can talk about your hold-up play and your pressing play and all these other things. In the mind of most strikers, it's about scoring goals. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number to call in here tonight. We've been talking Eric Kubo-Torres, who is now a part of Unam Pumas. Aaron writes on Twitter to Glenn Davis Sock. He says, as much as I wanted Kubo to work in Houston, he's just been too inconsistent for the Dynamo to count on. When he's hot, he's killing it. But when he's cold, he seems useless. Martin Hayes says, get in. I guess Martin wanted him to go. R8 says, good riddance. Asif says, room under the cap to get someone else. I think this works out great for Houston. D-Rock says, who steps in? Should they look for a replacement now while it's preseason? Well, we'll definitely ask Matt Jordan that. You got apparently $2 million to play with now, according to the record in Mexico. Let's go to Edson. Edson, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to give a little bit of my opinion on the whole Kubo-Torres signing. I think it's a really, really great decision by the Dynamo. More to the fact because, you know, he was taking a DP slot. He was, you know, being paid a lot of money, you know, to score goals. And right after, it was obvious that right after his motivation of the Gold Cup with to try to be called up by Mexico. When after that happened, it was just a completely different Kubo. And so we have there Mauro Manotas, who scored a similar amount of goals and a similar amount of, you know, minutes, who is much cheaper. So I mean, you could use that DP slot for another position that you may need, you know, another player that can bring in more to the Dynamo squad. I mean, at least that's what I think. And you know, as far as I think, what caught us by surprise as well is, you know, how quickly this
yeah, I think how quick it happened, Edson, definitely did catch us by surprise. I don't think it's any question the Dynamo have been trying to move him. Remember, his first 2 years here, he played less than 800 minutes, had 4 shots on goal. He came in with all these allegations in Mexico of a sexual assault. That seemed to go away. I hate bringing that up, but that's a part of the story, and you have to talk about it because it affected his performance. He came in unfit. He also came to a team, in his defense, that I don't think was set up to get the best out of him. But I have to tell you, the Dynamo got the raw end of this deal. Okay, because they did not get a fully healthy player after spending $7 million on a transfer fee. I think you're absolutely right about using the benchmark of the Gold Cup, because Kubo did score a lot of his goals early in the year, a lot of free kicks. But he got off to a great start. He got us all very, very excited. And then he did kind of fade away. And another guy that faded away in July that we're all forgetting about now is Alex, who's moved on to Asia. And it seemed like when Tomas Martinez came in, Alex was expendable. And Alex was the Dynamo MVP the year before. Alex had a real fire up until July, and he lost a bit of that fire. But I'd like your thoughts on Kubo-Torres, Edson. I appreciate it. What do you think the Houston Dynamo should target if they were going for another player? What would be an area you'd go after? What type of player would you try to get?
Well, see, I would try to get, you know, a forward, because, you know, besides Manotas, you know, as a striker, who else do we have, you know, that'll in case that Manotas goes on a bad, you know, streak, you know, isn't able to score goals, or if he gets injured, you know, we need something that'll bolster the depth on the striker position. And so I think that's where the Dynamo should focus on right now, because other than that, you know, we have a decent amount of players in the back line, especially the ones that came out from RGDSC. Also in the midfield, you know, you have Eric Bird, you have Charlie Ward. But
yeah, really, but those are two guys. Those two guys are unproven. They're unproven. I mean, they've not played in MLS, but limited minutes. So those are guys that you're hoping are going to emerge and are be proven in preseason and can actually contribute when getting minutes. So that's a big piece. But look, back to the striker position, Edson, before I let you go. The real key here in the striker position is this. If the Dynamo play with a three set, we do know who the wide guys are. Okay, I don't think there's any question. Andrew Wenger has filled in out wide at times for Elise and Kyoto. Manotas would be the center forward. You have some depth with a college draft choice as well. We'll talk a little bit about him and if, in fact, he can make the team or if he's a guy that's going to be RGV bound. But, Edson, thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate your thoughts. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. I believe Arturo Alvarez has made it into studio here. As we go to break, a moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting sponsors. Jan and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Bilingual, accidents happen. You know, that was an Elvis Costello song. Car accidents, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Head over to their website, DaspitLaw.com, for advice. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a Carlsberg break.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. We roll on. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in. 713-780-3776. Arturo Alvarez joining us now in studio, the Dynamo midfielder. I noticed he looked different when he walked in the room. He's now a married man. So the first thing I'm going to ask you, Arturo, how's it feel to be a married man? Anything different?
Not really. You know, Kenya and I dated for 7 years. So, you know, I think it was about that time for us to get married. And it does not feel, I mean, I'm happy that we got married and, you know, it was a beautiful wedding and all of our family and friends had a great time. So, but yeah, no, nothing different.
Life is good for you. You wanted to come back to Houston. This is your city. This is where you grew up playing the game. I knew there was a desire for you to come back. You've gotten married. Life's in a good place for Arturo Alvarez, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. You know, it felt good when you just said that I'm a Dynamo player. And, you know, that's something, you know, as a kid from Houston, I've been wanting to hear that for a while.
Well, your brother Edgar used to come up to me, or he came up to me outside of the game. We got to get Arturo back here. So he was lobbying hard for you.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. He's probably the most excited out of anyone here in Houston. You know, he's kind of been my number one fan, and he's obviously my best friend and my brother. So we're very close, and I can't wait to get the game started at BVUA and have him, you know, be there and supporting me. So.
Well, it's a place you've played before. You played in BBVA Compass Stadium as a captain of El Salvador. I mean, that had to be a pretty significant moment in your life, right? You come in captaining a national team in BBVA Compass Stadium in front of friends and family?
Yeah, no, it's happened, I want to say, twice. It was Gold Cup 2015 against Costa Rica, which, to be quite honest, I remember that. I think I was talking about that game the other day, and it was loud. Really loud. We ended up tying that game in the last minute, and I was probably one of the loudest moments, or, you know, being on the field and stuff. So that was pretty cool. And then this last game against Canada, that was also, it was last year. So yeah, no, it's fun, you know, playing for El Salvador and, you know, doing it at home in Houston. So
I remember telling you that I spent 3 or 4 weeks down in El Salvador, and back in my day, I played against like FAS and Alianza and some of the clubs down there. And of course, you and I have talked about the corruption in the professional league in El Salvador and some of the things that have happened over the years. Now, you grew up here in the United States. You weren't born in San Salvador. Was that ever an issue to the Salvadorian fans when you get back, when you went back and you were brought into the national team initially? Did, you know, because sometimes, you know, Lionel Messi gets a real hard time because the guy went to Spain as a teenager, you know? I mean, I'm like, if you guys don't want him, we'll take him. Did you ever get any resistance in that area?
You get a little bit, you know, hey, it's Arturo, you know, El Gringo or whatever, you know? Yeah. So it's like, but not more than that. Never from my teammates,
right?
Which is great, which is what matters. I was telling someone that I was, you know, the fans received me with open arms, took me in and believed in me and put their trust in me and supported me. I mean, I would say that, you know, all my social media followers, 90% of them are Salvadorians, and they're on top of my my career. And, you know, I'm thankful for that.
With you back, I see you and that connection to the Salvadorian fan. Now Darwin Seren here as well. Can we make a push? Can we get the Salvadorian community out? Because I know how much they love the game. I know it. I mean, the time I was down there, also, everybody either had a Real Madrid jersey or a Barcelona jersey on. So they're on top of it. But can we get the Salvadorian community out here in Houston? Are there plans? Do you talk to the organization about, you know, how do we get them out? Because, look, your job is to play on the field. But the bottom line is the stadium needs to be filled as well.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that's something that, you know, we're going to push for, and I think the fans are definitely going to support. You know, the Salvadoran community is definitely going to, you know, go to some Dynamo games this year. Like you said, we brought in Darwin Seren and myself and, you know, two good players from the national team. And so I'm sure Salvadoran community is going to, it's going to have a present with the Dynamo games.
Arturo Alvarez joining us in studio here. Open house on Saturday. Practice will be open. There'll be a fire sale down there with all kinds of Dynamo and Houston Dash gear. But it's always a fun day down there. The opening day, fans are down there. Everybody's speculating. Who's this? You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of talk about Kubo Torres down there. Were you shocked with the Kubo Torres announcement yesterday going to UNAM, or did you feel that potentially coming?
I did not know anything about it until it was made officially, you know, official by both clubs. But I'm happy for him. You know, I'm happy for him. I think, you know, he's at home. He's closer to family. You know, I'm glad he had a good year for the Dynamo last year, which is something that he needed. As a soccer player,
yeah.
And so you know, Pumas is a good club. So I think he's going somewhere where you know, he's gonna have to compete for a spot. And yeah, I think he's thrilled about it. And I, you know, I hope he does well. Wish him nothing but the best.
In reality, he's gonna be under tremendous pressure down there. I mean, it's Mexico City. The cauldron of pressure is gonna elevate, and hopefully That can help him respond. Think about your career, Arturo. A moment where you felt the pressure grow. Because I remember being at an MLS Cup final and you as an 18-year-old on the bench for San Jose and you and me talking. And, you know, I'm sitting there looking at you going, man, I 6 months ago he was playing soccer in Bear Creek Park, you know.
Yeah.
Here he is at the MLS Cup final with San Jose. But where was the moment where you felt the reality of real pressure that you then had to contend with and then turn into something that could motivate you, and you manage that pressure into a good thing that helps your game? Is there a significant moment you remember?
I mean, there's a lot of pressure when you're playing for your national team. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have to say that in MLS, there's not really that much, you know, that much pressure like there is in other countries. For example, I was in Portugal. You know, I played for Paços de Ferreira, which was a club that normally just fights for a spot to stay in the first division. And, you know, every game counted for that goal. So it's, you know, we had to win to stay up. So, I mean, that kind of pressure, you know, is what I've kind of been through. I personally enjoyed it. I feel like I had to be even that much more focused, you know, while I'm playing. But, that's pretty much.
So when you come from that type of pressure, now people may be saying, well, that's not necessarily a team I know, but you're in a league with Sporting Lisbon, all these big teams. And it is pressure, and it's pressure in your town where you play.
Correct.
And people want you to win, and they want you to play well. When you come back to Major League Soccer, which is something we're still trying to build in a lot of markets, healthy pressure, because we need that in the game, can you get complacent? Because you've been at that Portuguese pressure that was higher, you've just told me. So when you come back, is it more... Do you have to bring it upon yourself not to get complacent?
Yeah, I mean, of course, if you get complacent, then you're not going to survive in this career, in professional soccer. It's different kind of pressure. You know, as a professional soccer player, you have to perform. So you put pressure on yourself to perform every day, because it's a squad of 28 players that everybody wants to play. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think as a professional player in MLS, it's getting harder to get into MLS. You know, there's more money involved. They're searching for players, you know, in South America, younger players. And so it's getting harder to get into MLS. And I think, that's going to add some pressure to young American players to really, you know, focus and, you know, making sure that they get to that professional environment and make sure that they stay there.
Dynamo midfielder Arturo Alvarez joining us here. Have you had any discussion with Wilmer Cabrera on sort of the role that you may be playing, you know, either positionally or, you know, has he communicated with you yet as to kind of what he wants out of Arturo Alvarez? We all know who you are. You're a very skilled player. You make plays. You've got vision. But have you had that conversation yet?
Not exactly. You know, we've exchanged a few words, but like I said, it's been only 3 or 4 days into preseason. I'm sure it's gonna come up. He definitely wants me to kind of, you know, kind of be that that connection between the, you know, Hispanics, the Latinos on the team, and the American kids. You know, I speak both languages, and I can help with that. But to be quite honest, when he told me that, I was like, okay. I went into the locker room, and you know, there's a lot of experienced players out there, you know, in there like Beasley and Sendero. So it's gonna be pretty easy. I think it's a great group of guys. Everyone, you know, everyone's happy to be back. Everyone's excited. Everyone says good things about the coaching staff. So I think it's gonna be a good year for all of us here.
Preseason, when there's a lot of trialists and stuff, the early stages of it before it gets pared down can offer challenges, right? Because there's so many guys out there and there's so many people trying to prove themselves at varying levels. There's people that are under contract that are, you know, going through their preseason in a specific way to build up properly. There's others that are just going 100 miles an hour from the word go, the young rookies. You know, there's all that nervous tension. It can be kind of can have a little kind of train off the rails kind of feel to it early on, doesn't it?
No, it does. It does. And I think it's been like that, you know, every preseason that I've been a part of, which is normal. which is normal. Like you said, you know, there's guys that are under contract that are, I'm not going to say taking it easier. They're just being smarter in terms of, you know, going into challenges or going into tackles or anything like that. So, but yeah, there's, you know, there's the young kids that are out there trying to prove themselves, which I respect. I think, you know, a young kid that is coming in to get a contract, then, you know, they need to go 100 miles an hour from the get-go. So, you know, it just shows that they want it.
You know, one of the hot topics, you know what, let's wait for that one before we get back from commercial break, because this question may not have a very quick answer to it, so I want to give you some time. Let's take a break. Arturo Alvarez here in studio. Matt Jordan is coming up a little bit later in the program. Also, Patty Smith from the Houston-Harris County Sports Authority, 20 years plus as a sideline reporter for the Astros and Rockets. Also, you notice her from the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. She's in our out-of-the-box segment tonight. And Aiko Parra, who's in U.S. Men's National Team camp, he'll join us on the show as well tonight. We'll take a quick break here. Quick reminder, I want to remind you about Azure Salon. It's in the heart of River Oaks. It's in West Ave Shopping. Stylists at Azure Salon are the best. I go to Tristan. They keep it looking sharp, which in my case, it takes a real effort. I need all the help I can get. AzureSalon.com. Azure Salon is the place to go, guys. Ladies, they got you covered with colors, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com. AzureSalon.com. We'll take a Carlsberg break and more to come here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Hope you're enjoying this on Facebook. That courtesy of Victor Ariza and, of course, Behind the Glass producing. I got to make sure I give a pat on the back to all these guys. Jose Partida. We get the podcast done. Arturo Alvarez in studio. We were just talking during the break, you know. Things really come full circle, you know. 17-year-old, you go into Major League Soccer, and now you're finally back here in your hometown.
Yeah, like I said, it was a long time ago, and I left Houston when I was 17, and I get to be back here now that I'm 32, and you know, I think it's all about God's timing, and you know, I feel great. I'm you know, physically and you know, emotionally, everything. You know, like I said, it's you know, I got married. I'm everything. Just great things have happened. Been happening to me in the past, you know, few months, and I would say that you know, getting picked up by the Dynamo is probably like you know, like the cherry on top. So I'm excited to be here. Can't wait to play my first game for the Dynamo at the stadium and in front of family and friends.
Let me take you back. You go into Major League Soccer as a 17-year-old. Now you've seen where this league has come. You went through a time period where they may have even wondered if the league was going to make it. It's very differing times. I mean, it's pretty incredible. There are people spending $150 million for franchises. There's $55,000 a game or $50,000 a game in Atlanta. These amazing markets in Seattle and Portland. What have you seen through your lens? It's almost stunning sometimes.
You're right. There was talks about the league folding when I came in. And I was on the bus going to like a training or something, and I was like, wait a second, what? Like I just got here. Like, you know, I don't want to hear that.
I should have taken that college scholarship.
You know, and so but you know, I'm just it's amazing how much the league has grown. And to be quite honest, I think it's only going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, and that has to do with how well the league is doing, you know, the marketing side of it. And, you know, soccer is, you know, has a big following now in this country. And I think that's good. It's going to be, you know, obviously hope, you know, I could say that it's going to help our national team, which is, you know, the U.S. national team. But yeah, you know, I think it was a setback with the national team not qualifying to the World Cup, but I think it's a good thing that the league is getting bigger and bigger and better players, more money. And so, yeah, it's a good thing. You know, it was, it kind of hit me when I was in Hungary playing for Videotone and I was watching the MLS games live, you know, in the European channels. I mean,
what would the Hungarians say, and your teammates? You probably watched some games with your teammates. What did they say about Major League Soccer?
Yeah, no, they wanted to see how, you know, how it was, and they were interested. You know, they were interested, and you know, some were like, hey, let's, you know, whenever you go back, you know, hey, take me with you, or, you know, things like that. So, yeah, but everyone's, you know, everyone in Europe is interested in what Major League Soccer has to offer now.
You played with Nemanja Nikolic over there.
I did.
Tell me a little bit about him and his character, because I interviewed him before a national broadcast they did in a hotel, and I thought he was a very interesting guy. He was a very focused guy, I thought. What was it like playing with him, and why did he become so successful in MLS last year? Other than the fact that he had you playing near him.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason.
That's probably the main reason.
When I play with Nico in Videotone, and he loves scoring goals. I mean, he's the guy that he's gonna do whatever it takes to get the ball in the back of the net. And I think that's why he's been successful at all the teams that he's been at. You know, in Videotone he was surrounded with good players, and he was in Poland as well with Legia. And then last year with Chicago, you know, we had a good team around him. So, you know, I wasn't surprised that he scored as many goals as he did. So, I actually told one of my teammates, I was like, just watch. He'll score a lot of goals. Believe me.
Yeah, you predicted.
And he did. And he did. So I'm happy for him. I actually spoke with him before he joined the Fire, and he, you know. But yeah, I'm happy he's doing well, and wishing him and the Fire, you know, all the best next year.
So I think it was Tony Miola was with me when we were interviewing, and I think Tony asked a great question. Tony said, "All right, as a goal scorer, what would be your favorite goal to score?" And I'm sitting here going, "Yeah, he's going to probably say with my back to goal, you know, a bicycle kick or, you know, a volley from outside the 18," and he goes. He goes, "My favorite goal is tapping a ball in from 1 yard out because it means I'm doing my job."
And yeah, he's right. Like I said, he's there. He's gonna be there, and he's gonna make sure that he's doing whatever it takes to get the ball in. And I think that's part of being a forward. You know, that's part of being a goal scorer. You're just, you know, you want that more than anything. So. Yeah, that's why he scored 24 goals.
Arturo Alvarez in studio. Again, the Houston Dynamo open practice on Saturday morning down at Sports Park. It's going to be a fun day down there. Looking forward to getting down there. What has had the change in your game most to survive and have a long professional soccer career? What had to change? Because, you know, you get into the league, it's enormous potential. It's a wonderful skill set that Arturo Alvarez has, but that alone isn't going to make you survive. What has made you survive over all these years? What is the piece or two that you had to add to everything outside of maturity and experience? We all know that has to happen. What do you think it would be?
I think it was just taking care of my body.
Being more professional with your habits?
Yeah, eating habits, the gym. I think, you know, that's something that in the earlier, you know, earlier years of my career, I didn't really, you know, care to maybe I came into the MLS and we didn't even have fitness coaches. So it's something that was never really forced by, you know, by the clubs or anything. So, I mean, I think, you know, I learned a lot about it. I went through a period of time where I was having a lot of muscle injuries. And so I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to not have these anymore, to not go through. Because, you know, all these, yeah, they're not serious injuries, but they're setbacks.
Yeah.
And I had a few of those, and I told myself that, you know, I was going to work on my body and making sure that they didn't happen anymore.
Arturo, listen, we appreciate you coming in. I hope it's not like you haven't been in before, but it's the first time you've been in as a Dynamo player, which I think is very exciting. So tonight's a watershed moment. Getting married is probably a much bigger watershed moment, but welcome back to Houston. Thank you for coming in. I hope we can bring you in a couple more times throughout the year, and I want to wish you the best of luck, and welcome home.
No, thank you. Thank you, Glenn. And yeah, it feels good to come here to your show and as a Dynamo player.
Arturo Alvarez joining us in studio here tonight. We'll take a break. My thanks to Hector Casteltort for getting him up here of the Houston Dynamo. But Arturo knows his way to the studio. I do know that. So Hector down the, you know, that's one you can put in your back pocket for the future. All right, we'll take a break right now. Coming up, Matt Jordan, the general manager of the Houston Dynamo. A moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, will bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. We really do thank our sponsors for keeping soccer on the air, specifically Soccer Matters. Whether you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, industrial, Daspit Law Firm and John, that's where you got to go. DaspitLaw.com, working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual.